Yud, and the Chavis Alodos is discussing different midos, really opposite midos, but you're in charge, and certain what you walk away from the Chavis Alodos realizing is that a person should never say, this is how I am, this is me, this is that. That's not absolute. I mean, a person has certain tendencies. Yeah. The girls basketball out there. A league has formed, apparently. Girls basketball league. So, a person has tendencies, but it should never be overpowering. You should always be able to pull out of your arsenal an emotion. What we think is, this is really very... very rational, very Ayn Rand would like this Chavis Halvavus. You know Ayn Rand? She would like this Chavis Halvavus. Like, you control your emotions with the koach of your rational faculties. And you could tell yourself, now be happy, now be sad. Now be have fear, and now have hope. And based on a Torah view of the world or of what's happening. He was talking about different things. He talked about the last thing we learned was Gvura and Morach, courage and cowardice. U'mokom hashimish b'gvura, when you shouldn't be shy, don't be a wallflower, fight. B'fgoa b'oyve Hashem li lochem bom, when there's something that has to, you have to fight. In what situation, it's hard to, you know, we always hear conflicting advice. It's all very hard. Some people will say, well, you know, Shalom is the, Achdus is the greatest, the most overriding imperative is Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Or Shalom is the most overriding thing in Klal Yisrael. And you know, and sometimes it can be honest differences of opinion. But Marshal Nachum Shonfall Hirsch came to Germany, right, and he fought the reform. There were those that thought maybe some accommodation could be reached, it could work together. Even in my lifetime, there was a whole, right, the whole ASIC of the Board of Rabbis in New York with reform and conservative and orthodox, and the more Yeshivish Gedolim, Gedolei Ador of Moshe Rabaron, they said, you're not allowed to be together with them, which is in effect fighting them. It's in effect staying that, on the other hand, others felt that they can make common cause for social inyonim. It wasn't really an essentially a religious thing. It was, to do things for Jews, so then that we share a common thing. So what was, as rabbis, to recognize it as a branch of Judaism. If it would have been just Jews getting together, so I could sit by a table with a Reformed Jew and a conservative Jew, assuming they're Tinuk Shenishbos. I don't know. So if they're not Tinuk Shenishbos, it's not poshut that you're allowed to be friends with them. You're supposed to hate them. I know it's a very harsh word, nobody likes to hear it. But if they know what they're doing, halom sanecha Hashem esna. But sometimes you have to fight them. You can't. The paramount value. The point of learning Perek Yud and the Chavis Halbavos is not to teach us, although the Chavis Halbavos gives examples of each thing and when we should pull it out of our arsenal and use it, but the subtleties are too great to really. The point of Perek Yud is not to teach you when to use each one. It's to show you how you're the master of yourself, and you can. Don't be afraid of. It's not a contradiction, right? It's not a contradiction. I'll go back to my sister again, who has suffered the tragedy of her daughter being killed in a car accident. And she found out on Pesach. So, you don't sit Shiva when you find out Pesach. So you have to wait a week to sit Shiva. Now, you're supposed to be happy those days, right? So that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of every Jew, because Halacha demands, that you not be sealed, right? So you say, but you see it, and you're supposed to be happy. It's Yom Tov, right? So we're talking about malachim, or we're talking about human beings. So if the halacha says you're not allowed to be sad, you're not allowed to cry, you're not allowed to cry on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos, and you have to wait a week to start sitting Shiva, yeah. Or let's say it could happen an erev Yom Tov. Someone I know just lost a parent, and then it was a few hours before Yom Tov. I sat Shiva for 3 hours, 4 hours, and that was it.
I
happens.
I remember with my father, my father was trying to Sukkot, but they didn't bury him to Chol Moed because the hospital would release him, so then they had to spend the whole
Sukkot.
Right. Yeah.
So halacha demands of you. So really, this is halacha now. We're not talking philosophy, we're not talking. Halacha demands of you to control yourself. That means Hashem does not ask of us something we can't do. Right? That's a given. That means, that proves the Chavis Halavos' point, if you ask me. That right away proves his point. Because if the halacha, which was before the Chavis Halavos, right? 1,000 years before, when it was codified in the Mishnah and the Gemara, 1,000 years before the Chavis Halavos, it was codified that you can't be sad. So, but then if I learn Chavis Halavos, I have a tool. Why? Chavis says, nothing should sadden you that much. The only thing that should sadden you ultimately is if you're facing Gehenna. That should make you sad. You're violating Hashem's will. You're at cross purposes with Hashem's will. Oh, that should make you sad. Nothing else should make you that sad. So everything's a question of degree. So a Jew, it's amazing. And this is, Hashem wants this from every Jew. So we're not always successful because we're not robots. But the Chavis Halavos are such cases. Right? I remember in Muncie once, Purim night, there was a terrible, tragic car accident, and two boys got killed. Have you ever seen the Siddur Aliyos Eliyahu? It's by the ladies section. There's a lot of Siddurim, Aliyos Eliyahu. You look at the first page, that Siddur was made by the boy's parents, Levi Nishmaso. It says he died in a tragic car accident, Purim night. And there's a big behold in the town. Like, you stop all festivities or not. A lot of Rabbonim, I won't say what I held, mainly because no one asked me. But a lot of Rabbonim held, there was a big bavucha. A lot of Rabbonim held, like, this is the Torah, you know, you have to, it's Purim, you know, you have to celebrate. It could be muted, but to just pull the plug on everything that's happening in town, and it's not right. Right? And I'm saying every individual could face this. Every individual that sits Shiva and then they, it's a Yom Tov, or it's Shabbos, or just Shabbos in the middle of Shiva. You're not supposed to show any overt. A Jew, in this never-ending question about emotions and intellect, there's no question in my mind, that the Torah demands that we be able to control ourselves with our rational faculties, and we should always be in control of our emotions, and we should never lose ourselves. We can give vent to our emotions. You're supposed to cry. You're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to cry. Right? Eis lifkos, v'eis lischok. But you can never lose yourself. That's what the Torah says. You have the ability always to control yourself. And sometimes you have to pull it out and really use it. So he gives examples. You fight the Oyvei Hashem. He's not coming to teach you when. As I'm saying, there will always be people that say you have to pick your battles, and not now. And now's the time for Shalom or Achdus. So then you have to ask a shaila. You know, there are many, many factors that go into deciding what to do. And if you decide to go to war, to make a mulchama, see, the Torah Karta is always at war. What are the Torah Karta? A bunch of kooks. No, they're not. Maybe they are. But what are they saying? They're opening up Chavis HaVavos Perek Yud. And they're saying, what do you mean? We have to fight. We have to put up signs. We have to yell. We have to go on television. We have to picket. We have to call them names. We can't be afraid. Look what the Chavis HaVavos says. He says that you have to show courage and b'fagoa b'oivei Hashem, and the Zionists are oivei Hashem, lilochim b'am, and this is always an issue with reform. It was always an issue. Rav Shamsher von Lurish made a very major decision to make his own kehillah, to break away and be recognized by the government, right? He broke away, and that was a major decision. So, all I'm saying is, these decisions are much more complicated. The Chavis HaVavos is only devoting a few words to each side of the dichotomy. He's only devoting a few words because he's not coming here to teach us when to use each one. That's way too complicated for this. It's not his point here. Here his whole point is that you are the master and you pull out each emotion when it's appropriate. And they contradict each other, but many times. But you're in charge. You pull this out when it's called for. You pull that out when it's called for. You are not a prisoner of your emotions. You're in charge of them. Okay, so you courage when you're pogeo oivei Hashem, and you asoivel nisyonos and tragedies or problems. That's a courage. That's a courage. It's ometz. That's the midah of courage. You steal. You have to. Right? You keep trucking. You keep going. Sometimes things don't work out the way you'd like them to work out. Sometimes they don't always work out the way the storybooks work out. They don't always work out the way the storybooks do. And I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if all these storybooks are so good. They're inspiring, but the things don't always work out the way a storybook says. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if it's a problem. Al koponim, so you show ometz, you show courage by keeping on trucking. You don't let it deter you from avodas Hashem. You don't let it deter your emuna. You know. So he says two things. He says fighting oivei Hashem is courageous. Being so well tragedy, the person doesn't have parnosa. It's very hard. I mean, we shouldn't know from it. People who don't have parnosa, and they're not holy by taking stucco yet. They just keep trying, and it's very depressing. And he said, you have to have courage. And then a sayon. And he quotes the pasuk, "Kilecha ragnu kalayom nechshav l'gaton tivcha." That's the ultimate courage. And then he brings down a pasuk, "Yelmeini tzaddik chesed v'yochicheni," where you show courage when a tzaddik gives you mussar and makes you feel bad, points out things you're doing wrong, and you don't lash back. It's a courage to accept the tochacha of a tzaddik. That's how he's understanding this pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Aleph Hey. And when do you melt? When should you be a softy? Ach mokum hamorech. Morech is really cowardice. It's the opposite of courageousness. B'fugoa b'oave Hashem. When you have shaloli lochem, you have, let's say, a gadol or a rav says something you don't like, so you don't go. Now's not. You pull out the midah. You want to do battle with him, but it's very interesting. Like just psychologically, the Chavis HaVavos says a person's muchzuk. He's a navi, or he's a gadol hador, or he's a rav. And then he says something and you don't like it. and you're always wrong, let's say. I'm trying to figure out the Chavis Halvavas here. He doesn't say, you know, just be quiet. Even when you're always wrong. But now is not the time to show courage. You have to pull out a midah. He's not talking about now who's right and who's wrong. He's talking about pulling out a midah and using it. That you're aware of the situation and you see, well, let's say you're over in the shul. Really? I'm not saying I'm Ohavei Hashem, but it's a good example. Let me look at it from the perspective of the Chafetz Chaim talks about it in Shmiras HaLoshen. Okay, talking about me, I'm talking about the Rav that the Chafetz Chaim talks about. He says that he made a mistake. He did something stupid. He did something wrong. If you start battling him now, you're doing terrible damage to his standing, and he's a spiritual leader. And now no one will take him seriously. And that's what Chai Halavas is talking about. He's not talking about that, you know, say you're wrong and he's right. Then it's poshut. You don't need cowardice for that. You don't need the midah of morech. Then it's a question of leisoser. He's obviously talking about that there was an avla done, like something there done. But, you know, and then everybody gets all, you know, is ready to pitch battle, you know? So he says that now is the time to pull out a midah, go to take a back seat and say, I want nothing to do with this. I don't want to be part of this fight. Right? Be a coward. Say, I don't want to get mixed into a fight. Leave me out of this. And some people do say this, and it's a wonderful quality. Right? They say, you know what, maybe he's wrong, maybe Taka, but I don't want to mix in when I'm going to go start fighting with him. And all you're doing is dragging down. You want to talk to him? Talk to him privately. Try to point out that he's making a mistake or he's doing something wrong. But now's not the time to do battle. Now's the time to pull out the midah of cowardice, where you take a back seat and you say, I'm not ready to fight. I'm too busy. I have too much else on my mind. I don't want to fight. Don't fight them. Right, you see someone, it's not going to get you, someone. Wait, sorry. Let's say you see the tour. Thank you. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't ruin anything here. Wait a second, I have to go underneath. Is there wood underneath? Yeah. My wife's always yelling at me. Let's say you see, I'll give you another example of what he's talking about. Oh, Madrin bosses. I make Madrin bosses. One of my other bosses. And you don't really care. Okay, maybe it's wrong. And maybe, hey, we never had Madrin bosses before. What do we need Madrin bosses for? You've heard everybody talk about it. What do you have to get mixed in for? That's what I was saying. Now's the time to be courageous. I'm going to fight those Taliban rabbis. Pull out the midah of cowardice and say, I don't know, I don't want to mix in. It's not my fight, and I don't really care, and I'm fine with the back of the bus. If you're a woman, if you're a man, you say, I don't know. Maybe they're wrong, but what do I have to... You don't have to get into everybody. Don't fight Ohavei Hashem. Now, obviously, again, we're not talking if someone's making a chil Hashem, and if something ends up being, let's say, if the what do they call them, the burqa women in bed, if they're making a chil Hashem, then maybe you should do battle with them. I don't know. Again, the point of the Chavis HaLavas here, we're not going to cover life and decide right now when this and when that. The point is the point. Sometimes you have to... What the Chiddush to me is he's talking about when you know you're right. He doesn't say... He's not talking about a midah of saying you're wrong. He's talking about pulling out a midah of cowardice. You don't want to fight. What do you have to fight for? You don't want to get mixed into a fight. I don't want to fight. You're the Rebbe, there's a whole tumult. Let's say, again, it depends what the case is. You don't have to get mixed into every battle. Sometimes you pull out the meat of cowardice and say, I'm going to sit this one out, thank you. Okay. Usually you could tell. The more people that want to fight, it's usually the wrong thing to do. That's how you can tell. It usually is an inverse proportion. The only thing that excites people are silly things. For Gush Katif, no one wanted to stand up. And sometimes that's another example. Someone gives you Musa. So psychologically, what do? We right away get defensive. And we start arguing back. What do you mean? And you start explaining yourself and rationalizing. So he says, take out the midah of cowardice. Just say, you know something? You're right. Don't fight. The person's giving you Musa. He's pointing out something you're doing wrong. This is not the time for the midah of courage. This is the time for the midah of cowardice. Listen with a bowed head, keep your mouth shut, and say, you know, I made a mistake, Taka. And that's all. Kamosha Kosov, Yan Rachla Vavecha, Vatikona Mipnei Hashem. This happened by, we didn't get up there in Namai Nachshir, so I don't have to know. This is probably by Yoshio when he found the Sefer Torah. Right, I believe that he found the Sefer Torah. But the point, the Chavis HaLovis is once a proof in the Pasuk. Was he proving from the Pasuk? Rach levavecha. He wants those words. Your lev was rach. You didn't show courage. You melted. And that's a good meter sometimes. Sometimes you're supposed to melt. Okay, we continue. Uvechlal midos echo shte midos, another paired emotion, mido, is habusha, embarrassment, va'azos, and brazenness. Mokam aboshes, when should you be embarrassed? Behimoros hametavloch, when you violate, when you go against, when you rebel against someone that bestows you with good. Betovoso alponov. Uben Yodov, meaning immediately, like as he's still there, he just lent you the money, he just did you the tova, and you do something against him. You see, he should be ashamed. What does the pasuk say? Uvavur tiye yirasu al pneichem levilti techetou. That's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Yisro, I believe. Yeah, Yisro. And what does it mean? Yirasu al pneichem zuhabusha. The Gemara says. Busha is a very wonderful midah, and you pull it out when you want to do something wrong, and you think about Hashem and what He does for you, and He's enabling you now to do what you're doing. And like, isn't that embarrassing to go against His will? Ubochicha also, when Hashem could be punishing you or giving you a reward, be'edyo hatovim v'haroim, deschar and onesh, and you're like oblivious to it all. It's embarrassing. Like you're in your own world. Kamosha Kosov Ben Odom Haged Espes Yisrael Es Habayis. He proves it from a pasuk. He has a source. Describe to Bnei Yisrael the Beis Hamikdash. The Kolmu Me Avono Sehem. And they'll get ashamed. Embarrass them. Make them feel bad. Embarrassment. How could we throw away so much good for such transient... such transient stuff, right? And look what we threw away. It's busha. Busha. That's what it says in the Gemara. Halavai, we should be embarrassed from people, from Hashem, like we're embarrassed from people. V'omer alakai boshti v'nechlamti l'arim alakai ponai alecha. And brazenness is again when you're against osei risha. U'mokom midos ha'azus b'fgiyas ha'rishoim. They this is a whole sifn shulchan aruch. It says right on one hand, it says az ponim legehenim. It says in Pirkei Avos. On the other hand, in the first siman in shulchan aruch and aruch chaim, it says don't be embarrassed by people who make fun of you. That's the time to be brazen, not to be embarrassed. Sometimes doing a mitzvah, sometimes a person's in a situation. Again, I'm afraid to give examples. A guy emailed me on an interesting shaila. He says, I'm going to shave next week because I have to go to a business meeting. So he wanted to know if he should shave already Friday. I'm going to shave next week because I'm going to a business meeting. So I'm going to trim my beard. He's not going to shave, but he's going to trim. Trim his beard. So he wanted to know if he should already do a covered Shabbos. Very interesting shaila. I think it's a wonderful shaila. But I said, I can't grant you your premise. So you go a little unkempt. Come on. You're going to lose the account. So comb your beard. You really have to shave. He said he felt he really did. I believe him. And certainly the halacha, again, I don't want to stop getting into halacha. The halacha certainly provides for a heter to shave if you're in such a situation. I was just probing to make sure, because people sometimes think, like, no one even notices if he has a beard or not. I'm like, he's all worried. But he says he really feels it's people that are very makbid on such things. Okay. So I said, okay, fine. So when I pass him about Shabbos, he should not shave Shabbos. I said, you don't shave until you have to. I know, like, when it comes out Sunday, a person can take a haircut on Friday. But that's if it's Sunday. Here, there's a reason. So until the reason pushes you to do it, you don't do it. Hakoponim, that's, don't be embarrassed. I always refer to my childhood, my adolescence. I grew up in, in the 60s, the whole world turned over with the Beatles and the youth, and all of a sudden youth became a mila, and an older person became a subject of derision and of bittel, and no more keep it on the aim, forget it, and everything is the young. The old people are, and the famous statement from Abby Hoffman, don't trust anyone over 30, you heard of these things? Till he became 30, then he didn't know what to do. But I could tell you, I grew up then. If I wasn't from, I would have had a ball. I grew up then. I almost grew up with marijuana and the students taking over the universities. You don't know what's going on. Like, the whole world was upside down. Now you don't even realize all the things that are hefka now and really disgusting were not around in the 50s. The world became crazy and terrible in the 60s after Kennedy was shot. And the Beatles, really, it sounds funny to you, but I can tell you, Mama's changed the world. But one thing was good, because Ramea kind of burst onto the scene then. And he, so like when I was growing up before, you're ashamed to wear your tzitzis out. You should be ashamed. But then when the Schwarzes started Black Power and the hippies started Do Your Own Thing, it really taught a certain azus even for frum people, and people stopped, and I could be made. I lived through it, and I was aware, because people stopped being ashamed of their Judaism, of frumkeit, and they started also making demands. They started making demands that the laws should be written to enable them to go home early on Fridays, and they stopped being ashamed to wear their tzitzis out, and they stopped being ashamed. Many, many people didn't wear yarmulkes to work. When I was younger, many people didn't. After the decade of the 60s, once you hit the 70s, it was a rarity not to wear yarmulke to work anymore. People felt, why not? I'm Jewish. I'm wearing yarmulke. So there was a certain azus in doing mitzvahs That was good. And okay, Russia is already a whole different story. You wouldn't call that Alsace, you would call that courage. That the Jews in Russia started demanding, making demands. That's more courage than Alsace. But I'm talking about Alsace. Even my friends and in my circles, there was a certain pride, and Meir kind of built on that. And he made the Jewish Defense League, and it was a very controversial figure. It was very good. He took a lot of youth that were totally disaffected and disenchanted, and he made them proud to be Jewish. Now, now it's like, yeah, of course. It was a very big chiddush then, and he took it from the Schwarzes. He said, if the Schwarzes are preaching black pride, as they called it then, black power, black pride, they don't want to be called Negroes anymore. They wanted to be called blacks, and they changed. You can't call them blacks anymore. You have to call them Afro-Americans, African-Americans. That was Jesse Jackson. You don't want to be called black. What are you calling black for? Call them African Americans. Okay, fine. But they acquired a certain pride in who they are. And the Jews learned from that. Really, in the forefront. Like, till then, the Jews, you hope. And some say in Golos, by the way, we can't go into the pratim of what's right and wrong. Many say that in Golos you tuck a hide under the table and you hope no one notices you, and some want you to do like that in Eretz Yisrael too, right? The point is this taka amida of Azus that can be very beneficial, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch, below Yev.